right, it's 25 minutes before the hour. Harry Reid saying this showdown outside of Las Vegas is not over. I'm half expecting Harry to show up on horseback, spurs on his boots, and rearing that horse up and ready to go. But he would, oh, he would be carrying a, oh, no, it's just a, it's a taser. It's not an actual gun. Okay. They only tase American citizens, right? In Nevada, they don't tase anyone else. Just if you're an American citizen and you're doing civil disobedience, they will tase your cows first, then they'll tase you or your family. We'll continue on this as the federal land grab issue now actually center stage. Very interesting. Something that hasn't been discussed much, but has been percolating for some time. As the federal government uses both eminent domain and other, I think, made-up federal rights to just confiscate lands that are state lands. And it's taking an enormous amount of money away from state governments, state coffers, and sovereignty of states, many people believe, and yours truly included, is compromised. So we'll continue to take your calls on this. But we have to hop over to North Carolina. Some interesting things going on there with an incumbent being challenged, Walter Jones, who has been in Congress for many terms. He's described, and I'll just read one description of Walter Jones. Again, GOP incumbent. Walter Jones has been a household name for 50-plus years, so it's a tall order in any stretch of the imagination, said another unaffiliated Republican operative in the state. He's been his own guy. If you ask about Walter Jones, people say he's very much a social conservative, and he does take stands sometimes that defy conventional political thinking, but people respect him for his reasons, the reasons behind them all. And he agrees with, I think, some Democrats on pulling back from some of this military intervention, which, of course, is very politically popular in the country right now. He's very skeptical on our relationship with this unbridled free trade movement globally and what it's done to the American worker. But Walter Jones is his own man. He's being challenged by our next guest. Taylor Griffin is a Republican candidate for the 3rd District, challenger to incumbent Walter Jones. He's getting a lot of high-profile support, and he joins us now. Taylor, great to talk to you. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Laura. I'm doing well.
So for people who don't know who you are, you worked for George W. Bush's campaigns and on his White House staff, and you also worked over at Treasury in the administration as a spokesperson, and you were tracking funds that terrorists were using, trying to hide worldwide. So you have a lot of experience in, at the federal level in government. Why does Walter Jones deserve a challenge? To me, I look at Jones and I see kind of a more of a Pat Buchanan type Republican, kind of an economic populist, social conservative. So what's the beef with him?
Well, Laura, first of all, I'm from Eastern North Carolina. This is my home. This is where I grew up. I got to Washington, actually. You left off the beginning part of my resume to work for Senator Jesse Helms to represent North Carolina. And the reason that Walter Jones is, I believe, needs to be replaced is that this is a very conservative part of the country. And you listed a number of issues where he is quite conservative, and he and I agree on those. But there's a lot of other issues where he is outside of the of other conservatives. Like you take food stamps, for example. This huge growth in the food stamp program, Walter Jones has opposed reforms to that. So he started as a Democrat, remember, and he became a Republican, was a pretty good Republican for a while. He split with the Republicans around the Iraq War, and we've never really criticized him for that. But he started joining up with Democrats on a lot of other things, taxpayer financing of elections, for example. And the important thing is that for Eastern North Carolina, they need a congressman that, one, shares their values and also is capable of getting things done and moving the ball forward for Eastern North Carolina. We've got a lot of problems here. The federal government is all over Eastern North Carolina, because, mm-hmm. especially because of our coastal areas and our military bases.
So you ticked off a couple of issues, and I think those points are well taken. One thing that I'm sensing in this race is there's a real divide between you and Jones on the issue of immigration. And I know you say you're against, quote, blanket amnesty. And I'd like to stay on that point for a moment. So since you're against blanket amnesty, I take words very seriously and phrasing very seriously on the show. What amnesties, then, are you in favor of? What relaxation, perhaps, of deportations would you be in favor of?
Well, I'm against amnesty altogether, full stop.
What about deporting people? Let's just get – I want to unpack this very clearly so our listeners have a real sense of where you're coming from. Because I think you check a lot of great boxes as being a conservative. This issue is obviously important to the people of North Carolina. President Obama has issued what is an obvious signal to the country and to Congress that he is going to be backing off, already has backed off on deportations of the Dreamers. He's extending this and broadening this. Would you be opposing his extension of this relaxation of deportations as he's doing it?
Absolutely. Look, Laura, the fundamental issue here is that American citizenship is too precious to be given away as a political token for either party. And that's what I feel like is happening here. Republicans are justifying their opposition to something that, or their support of something that they would normally be against. Republicans support rule of law in this country. We always have. But now that we're worried about Hispanics and whether or not we're going to be able to elect another president, we're backing off of some of our fundamental principles. I think you have to stick with the principle first.
So does that mean you, just so I'm clear, you oppose what President Obama and Republicans are advocating as far as relaxing deportations, backing off on deportations? You are opposed to that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Including for the Dreamers?
Yes.
Okay, because Sheldon Adelson is one of your big backers. He's for giving the Dreamers some type of regularized, normalized status.
I think there are a lot of people who agree and disagree on this issue. We have to come up with a practical solution, but the first thing we have to do is to secure the borders, try to put things back to a normalized status as much as we can, and then deal with all the people who are in this country illegally.
So would you ever be for a pathway to citizenship for people who are here illegally at this point? Would you favor some pathway to citizenship after maybe some of these hurdles are cleared with enforcement of the border or
I wouldn't even consider that until well down the road, Laura. I think that the first thing that we have to do is find some way to get a handle on all the people who are in this country illegally. There are 12 million people who are in this country illegally. And one of the big problems is they're living outside the system. They're using services that American taxpayers are paying for. We have to get those people either out of the country or in the system in some way. And then, so a pathway to citizenship? No, that's not what I'm talking about. But some sort of normalization of the people who are in the country, finding a way to deal with them, I think, yes.
Okay, but that conflicts with your point on deportation, though, right? I mean, if the goal of the country, in part, is to make sure we still have a country, that we still have a sovereign state, meaning the national state, we still have borders, our laws mean something, then that would require some level of real seriousness when it comes to deportation. Because without that tool, more people are rushing the border. The New York Times just did a big piece on that 2 days ago. They're rushing the border. They're overwhelming our Border Patrol. And the American middle class, including all of the people in your state, of course, who are suffering as underemployed or unemployed, they're the ones who are made to pay the big price. Not the rich people, but the people who are in that middle class. So if you say you are for deportations, that's what you said. You're for deportations, but you're also for regularization. That's
under current law, I am for deportations until we can get laws in place to deal with the people who are in the country. I think we have to get laws in place
to deal with the people who are in the country illegally. Again, just so I'm clear, are you more of a Lindsey Graham Republican on this issue, or are you more of a Jeff Sessions Republican on this issue of immigration?
Laura, I don't want to put myself in boxes, but
what?
I will say
come on, Taylor. That is ridiculous. You know, Jeff Sessions is a law and order guy. Lindsey Graham believes that if you get a toehold in the country, right, and you haven't committed a felony, you basically should have a pathway to citizenship. It's a simple question. Are you closer to Sessions, or are you
closer to Lindsey
Graham? You're closer to Sessions?
Closer to Sessions.
Okay, well, that clarifies it. I think that's very helpful. Let's talk about where we are with trade, because the trade issue rarely gets discussed in Republican circles. And I know, again, a lot of good people are supporting your campaign. People are very well off, and I'm all for people giving as much money as they want to campaigns. That doesn't bother me at all. But there are a lot of big people who make a lot of money over in China and other countries who don't really see the effects of, quote, free trade in the United States, including the important manufacturing in your state. What is your position on how especially China has dealt with the issue of trade vis-a-vis our country, you know, lived up to the rule of law, international trade law, and so forth?
Well, China has not lived up to the rule of law in many cases, and that's been a major issue between the U.S. and China. And you know, the protection of intellectual properties being a grand example of it. Laura, I will tell you that I am not a close the borders economic isolationist.
No, well, that's just a red herring. I mean, that's what everyone who doesn't want to deal with what's happened with trade agreements says. Like, it's the same thing they say about immigration. If you're for enforcing the border, you're a xenophobe. And your former boss George W. Bush, you know, said xenophobia, isolationism, protectionism. Let me tell you what I'm for. I'm for protecting the American worker. 100%. I will plead guilty to doing that. Okay. But trade exists to benefit the people of North Carolina and the people of the United States. That's my only point on this. It's not we shouldn't trade with people. Of course we should trade with people. But it should be to our benefit, not for the global community's benefit.
Of course.
I don't care, give a rat's you know what about how it helps China.
Of course. And I agree.
Okay, so who's being an isolationist here? You said, you know, isolation.
I wasn't accusing you of being an isolationist. I'm just trying to describe my position. So I think there are people who are reflexively opposed to all free trade agreements.
Who?
I am
Walter
not
Jones
one of those.
Isn't. Yeah, but Walter Jones isn't. He's the guy you're challenging. He's more of an economic populist, though.
He's opposed most free trade agreements. He's opposed almost every free trade agreement.
Well, what's happened?
And I've talked to the manufacturers in the district, and I've talked to them about my position on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's important, Laura, is that we have a smart approach so that we're opening markets overseas, but we're making sure that that it's to our advantage and to our benefit. So I'm not automatically opposed to free trade agreements. And there are many examples here in eastern North Carolina. There's some industries that have really hurt. The textile manufacturers mm-hmm. have hurt. There are other industries where
furniture.
You have, well, that's in western North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in eastern North Carolina, you've had some industries, small manufacturers, where they have ended up moving manufacturing operations overseas, but then they've moved much more jobs back because their company grew to such an extent because
mm-hmm.
they were more price competitive. To create more jobs. So they've ended up being net creators of jobs. So I don't think trade is necessarily bad. Free trade agreements are not necessarily bad.
No, I agree with you on that. But let's take the Korean free trade agreement passed a few years ago, President Obama and Republicans. There's a lot of bipartisanship for that agreement. How would you rate that agreement and how that worked out for the people of North Carolina or the people of this country?
Well, I think that for eastern North Carolina, there are not as many industries that are competitive, and there aren't as many problems. So I haven't focused on the Korean Free Trade Agreement and its implementation.
Yeah, let me just tell you something you might not know. But I mean, look, I don't know a lot of things, so I'm not trying to be cute here. But our exports actually fell by 12% in the first month of the implementation of that free trade agreement and have ballooned since. So the trade deficit with Korea, this law, it's great, Republicans, Democrats working together. It's been a nightmare for American industry. It hasn't paid off for the American worker. And so that's the kind of thing that I hope you or Jones or whoever is in Washington actually brings up and discusses, because it's really important that people understand how this is playing out for the American worker. We have a lot of people tweeting as you're on, and one of the tweets is, they're giving me the whole list of them, since you want to replace Jones, will you oppose any plan that increases guest workers in the state of North Carolina? And then the next one, 340,000 people are currently unemployed in North Carolina. Why would we need more guest workers? What's your reaction to that tweet?
Well, my reaction to that is that right now for the agricultural sector here in eastern North Carolina, there is not the labor. They're having a hard time finding available labor. I think once we start looking at these social safety net programs,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a study in Pennsylvania. You have to make $35,000 a year in order to be better off than you would be on government assistance. It's no wonder that we have a lack of workers. available to do the low-skill jobs. And so in eastern North Carolina, we've got to be able to get our crops in from the field. Right now, we're dependent on guest workers for that. What I'd like to see is reform these social safety net programs so they're a safety net, not a hammock, and that we can get more low-income workers or low-skilled workers available to fill those jobs, and we don't have to increase guest workers. But at the same time, I'm going to be practical. I'm not going to let our farmers have their crops rot in the field.
See, I have a view that if you can't pay enough to attract American workers, you shouldn't be in business. I mean, I think this idea that, well, we could, no one's worried. Well, maybe because Americans expect to get paid a certain wage for certain type of work, and other people are here illegally. Of course, they'll work for $5 an hour and pick raspberries. I understand that the reason they do that. I get it.
If you want to pay more for food and that kind of thing,
right,
then
yes,
that's fine.
Yes, I think that when you look at the trade-offs between crime...
But then we're importing raspberries from Mexico instead of producing them here.
Well, I don't believe that. I think our country has survived, right, throughout most of our history, of having a pretty clear understanding of what sovereignty and borders and work and the free market and wages, all that means. But you kind of have to look at the whole picture, right? How much does this illegal immigration hurt our schools or our health care or law enforcement or our culture or the middle class wages? So I think it's a big question. And the whole thing, well, the crops are rotting in the fields. Well, there are a lot of STEM workers that are rotting who have graduated from American schools who are Americans. They're rotting in the fields. They're not able to find work. And so when Paul Ryan and company wants to import a lot of new foreign workers, you know, I'm not trying to be cute here, but these are real people whose lives have been affected. But, hey, I appreciate, Taylor, you're coming on the show. You answered a lot of questions about a lot of really important topics. I think people should just be informed. Jones versus Griffin here in the Eastern District of North Carolina, good people, and they deserve great leadership. Taylor, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, we appreciate it. We'll take a break. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.
Thanks for listening to this podcast excerpt of The Laura Ingraham Show. If you'd like to receive podcasts of our complete shows, go to lauraingraham.com and sign up to become a member of Laura 365. Our Laura 365 members get commercial-free streams and podcasts of our shows every day we're on the air. And also, you can listen to the last 30 days of The Laura Ingraham Show. Be ahead of the curve. Join Laura 365.